Like I was praying, it's always wonderful to talk about Jesus and talk about Easter and talk about praise him and talk about how powerful he is. Talk about, you know, all manner of songs that we've been singing. It's worth singing and we should sing it. But you know, the whole thing boils down to one thing. Like I said on Friday, why did he come? Why did he have to set aside his glory? Set aside his being God and everything to come and live a life that was less than a slave. Man, think of the transition and to die like a criminal. Why do you have to suffer all that? And if the reason he suffered all this is defeated in our lives, that's the wasted effort. If the reason he did all this, we didn't get into the benefit of it, question is, so why did he take all this pain? So, but in my mind, I think that the most important thing is that we, for whom he suffered, enjoy the benefit of that suffering. That would be a wonderful end to all that story. Can I hear amen? Amen. Otherwise, it's like you pay thousands for somebody to get a car and he's still walking all over the place. All the money you paid would be wasted. The scripture said we should not receive the grace of God, what? In vain. In Isaiah, he said, when he sees his suffering, he said, all this labor, all this suffering, he said, when he sees that we have become righteous, he said, he will be satisfied. When we see that we're walking in freedom, he will be satisfied. When he sees we're walking in good health, he will be what? Satisfied. And so, you know, our text is 1 Corinthians 15:17. I can't get away from gift of righteousness, but the Lord told me to preach it throughout this weekend. And that's what I'm going to do. But we'll still talk about the resurrection if I have time. But I follow instruction. 1 Corinthians 15:17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is what? Vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And I want to remind us that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is not just about the cross. It's not just about the cross. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is about his death on the cross, his burial, and his what? Resurrection. You don't give complete gospel when you don't bring this the essence of all these things that happened. Because right here, he's telling us that if Christ didn't rise, even though he died, that will remain in our sins. That will remain in our sins. So, the death is important, the burial is important, but the resurrection is also what? It's all part of the gospel message. You find the church talking only about the cross. Yes, we talk about the cross. I preach about the cross too. But we should go all the way to resurrection so that people will understand why if he didn't rise, we remain in our sins. It's part of the fact that he died on the cross. We will get there towards the end of this message. But first of all, you know, somebody sent me a sermon, a video, and that sermon was awesome. It was so beautiful. It was straight to the point. It was the truth. And this man was saying that the challenge that the Christian has is believing the gospel. Can you believe that? He said, it's not your problem, it's not your challenge of life that is your main challenge. That the main challenge we have is to believe what? The gospel. I will want us to stop all this wandering all over. You people affect me here by this one. You affect what is happening here. I'm telling you, do. Let's not forget the Spirit of God is here. And let's honor him. So he says the challenge is to believe what? The gospel. I want you to say it with me. The challenge is to believe what? The gospel. And I said, yes, that's true. That's absolutely true. So it's not the challenge you have in life that is your main problem. That the main problem is to believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I realize that is true. Because the scripture says, you shall know the truth. And the truth will what? Which means if you believe the gospel, it will work for you and set you free from whatever that thing is. So the issue is not the thing. The issue is what you believe. The issue is not the challenge. Because the challenge is not the issue. The issue is, do you believe the truth? Because if you do, then the truth will what? But not before you believe it. So running around trying to solve the problem is a different issue. But the point is, do you believe the truth? The Isaiah said, who has believed our report? So that the arm of the Lord will be revealed, that he solved problem. Who has believed it? And I began to think about it. But then think of that. You know, when Jesus came, he said, I came for the righteous, right? Oh, you said yes. I caught you. He said, I came for the righteous, right? Your Bible must be wrong. What did he say? Came for who? Who are also what? Unrighteous. That's what he said. He said, look, if you are righteous, you don't need me. He said, if you are not sick, you don't need me. I came to fix life. I'm the physician. I want the sick. I want people who are sinners. I want people who are totally unrighteous. Doc, this is not hospital. You know, doctors, sometimes their brain is so hot. Our dad is a gynecologist. Yeah, gynecologist. I convinced my wife I need more children, Pastor. So we came to him, OB, because we are all on what? Unrighteous. And because we are what? Sinners. And he said, I'm the physician that came to fix that life. So if you are sick, come. If you're unrighteous, come. If you're a sinner, what? Come. And I came. When I came, I said, I'm a sinner. And I'm also what? Unrighteous. Who else came? You came. Now, when we came to him, because we're unrighteous, now it's like taking your car to a wrecked car, because our life was totally wrecked. So it's like taking a wrecked car to the mechanic. So when you take it there, what do you do? Come on, church. I can't hear you. You are hiding because you know where I'm going. When you take it there, what do? You leave it there. So we came to Christ because we were unrighteous. We were sinners. And all of a sudden, we jump out and say to Jesus, hey, wait a minute. I want to fix myself and show you what I can do. I would say we're trying to be good. We are trying to be holy. We are trying to be whatever. So we want to fix it. And so, see, I want to please him. I get out of the workshop and try to fix myself. And all I'm trying to do is, I want to impress him. Because when we talk of pleasing God, what we have in mind really is to impress God. So I want to impress Jesus. See how good. Church, talk to me. See how good what? I am. Really? But the reason you came was because you couldn't fix yourself. The reason you came in the first instance is because you were hopeless. The reason you came in the first instance is because you had no strength. While we are without strength. The reason you came in the first instance is because you are rotten. You are wrecked. You are a car that was wrecked by sin and wrecked by Satan. That's why you came. The reason you came was you are sick. And all of a sudden you said to the doctor, hey, doc, wait a minute now. Let me go. I teach you. Look, doctor, look, I came. Yeah, I came that first time, but from now on, I'm healing myself. Paul looked at it. He said to the Galatians, he said, it takes a madman to do such a thing. That's what he said to them. He said, you Galatians have lost your what? Your mind. How do you back yourself out? I want to please him. I want to do these things so that you come and stand in pride before him and say, check me out. See how good I am. See what I have become. And the Bible says when we make such attempt, we produce garbage. we produce filthy rag. And you know, the word filthy rag, like I told them, it's not the real interpretation of that word. The real interpretation of that word is menstrual pad. Because you see, in the culture of the Jews, remember that in the Old Testament, a woman does not enter the temple when she's in her period. And you bring menstrual pad in there, they'll kill you. They'll kill you instantly. Paul said, that thing you are trying to produce is a filthy what? Rag before God. Because the only person who can produce real job is the physician he sent to you. Is anybody understanding me? If you understand me, say amen. Amen. You came because you were righteous. You came because you were a sinner. You came because you were sick and you had no strength. In fact, Jesus said you are poor. He said, I bring the gospel to the poor. You have nothing to fix yourself with. You are totally bare of anything you can use. But all of a sudden, you said to him, it's true I came that time because they told me I was unrighteous. But now leave me alone. I'm going to make myself what? Good. It's amazing. And we do a very poor job of that. So the problem again here is that we do not believe the gospel. We do not believe the gospel. Because to fix my life is a lifelong project until I see him face to face. He's fixing me from glory to glory. Until I see him what? Face to face. This body, this person that was kept to him, that because he was bad and evil and that, has to remain under that workshop. And the doctor keeps what? Working. Because he keeps working to take you from one level of fixing to another level of what? Fixing to another level of what? Fixing. And when you come, he shows you to the Father and says, see what I have done. The glory goes to him. It's a lifelong project. You don't pull out. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith. Somebody shout hallelujah. But you know, the first thing that he'll give you, because now, you know what, in my family, they wrecked one of our cars, one of my children's cars. Somebody drove into a parking lot and wrecked his car. Just ran away. They wrecked it, and the poor boy didn't even know. And I told him, I said, did they wreck your car at your job? He said, no. I said, they wrecked it. So we came down, they really wrecked it. But when he took it to the mechanic to fix it, you know what the mechanics began to do? They started to take out parts that were, church, come on, that were what? Damaged. And they started to put in, and they didn't finish the first day. They wrote him a letter saying it will take us 12 days. Again, God wrote you a letter saying it will take you your lifetime to fix you. So he started, they will remove this. And the poor boy, let me remove the word poor. The boy was waiting. What else can he do? Supposing he goes there and says to the mechanics, hey, I brought it the first time, I'm now born again. Let me have my car back. He knows nothing about fixing it, can't even bring anything. How far would that car go? And he starts fixing it himself. It will be worse than where he started. So now, they change parts. Church, listen to me, please. Pull out this part. And put this one. And we came. And Jesus said, I need to pull out this part. This nature that is unrighteous, I need to kill it. And replace it with a path that's righteous. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need to take out the old man. That's your problem. Your nature is sinful. You take it out. And the Bible said, can a leper change his skin? Say no. So the only person who can take it out and change the skin is the Creator who made you from the beginning. And Jesus is that one. And you brought your wrecked life. He said, you see, your problem is that you have a new nature. When Adam obeyed the devil, sin became our nature. So he, the Bible said it was, he did it by circumcision, not done with hand, but by the hand of the Spirit of God. Only him can do that kind of circumcision. Now when you stop and say, you don't do that, I can do that, you can't do it. So he pulled out this nature. If any man is in Christ, what happened? Took out this one. See, he's fixing. Brought the one you needed. Somebody shout hallelujah. And then, you know, even then he now said, you know, you came here unrighteous. Obi, can we have a dialogue? You know, just sitting there. You know, I'm acting Christ. You're acting the sinner, right? Yeah. Even I gave you promotion, acting the sinner. So I'm acting Jesus. So you came to me. Let's have a dialogue a little bit. I said, you know, you came to me because you were unrighteous. He said, I'm a sinner. So you don't have righteousness at all. So I want to give you one. Yeah. You want to have it? Because you came to me because you couldn't produce it. Because you came, you were unrighteous. Because I gave you the law, you felt. And the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen what? He said, none is righteous, no, not one. And I came because you are to help you. So now, I can give you righteousness because you failed to produce it. And I'm the only one who can give it to you. You want it? Somebody shout hallelujah. So the first thing Jesus does is give you what you didn't have. Because you came as an unrighteous person. We all came as an unrighteous person. So he gave us what? Righteousness. He gave us what? Righteousness. Church, are you following what I'm saying? When you came, you were unrighteous. So the first thing he gave you was what? Righteousness. Because if he didn't give you that righteousness, you can't walk with God. Because God will not have an unrighteous person in his presence. Can somebody shout hallelujah? So he gave you righteousness. And the devil comes around and says, no. Because the problem is believing the gospel. That's our problem. Do we believe the gospel? Look at it. Romans 1, 16 to 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Church, please. For I'm not ashamed of what? Gospel of Christ. For it is, number one, what? The power of unto salvation. To everyone that believes. To the Jew first, and also to the... Do we believe this part? Church, do we? Thank you so much. We should have so much mothers as ushers. So the next verse, we believe that verse. Let's go there. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God that saves everyone that believes it, right? Whether you're a Jew or Greek. Then the next verse, 17, says, for therein is what? The righteousness of God, what? Revealed. So something is, it reveals something to you. You came unrighteous, and God is giving you his what? Righteous. He said, in that same gospel, the same gospel story, there's a revelation there, something you didn't know about. You didn't have it when you came. You came because you were a sinner. You came unrighteous, and God said, there is a righteousness that's being revealed to you. The righteousness of who? Of God. He says, from faith to faith. He said, because it is received by faith only, as it is written, the just shall what? So he said, you see, the gospel teaches us, reveals something amazing. That you came to Jesus unrighteous, he's going to give you the righteousness of God free of charge. You know, this is heavy for some of us. Look at Romans 3, 20 to 21.
For by the deeds of the law, there shall no, including you and me. That's the Bible. Including you and me. Even though you think you are good. Because we said to Jesus, no, I'm good. No. But he says, there shall no flesh be justified. Where? In his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 21. But now, now you see the word revealed. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law witnesses it. It was written in the laws. It was written in, by the prophets. That's what witness means. That the law, this, the Pentateuch of Moses and the prophets wrote about this righteousness that was coming. And Isaiah prophesied about it. God said in Isaiah, he said, I swore by oath that my the righteousness shall come from what? From me. Is anybody following me? You know the scripture you quote all the time? No weapon formed what? Shall prosper. Did you know why it's working? It will work like that. He said, for their righteousness is from me. Go and read it. He said, because when I give them righteousness, they enter into my blessings. That's what it's talking about. No weapon formed against me shall. We don't quote it to the end. He said, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. For church, come on, for their righteousness is what? From me, says the Lord. When I make them righteous, then they can enjoy my blessings, including my protection. That's what it means. He says the law and the most the prophets witnessed, they wrote about it, that God is going to make us righteous and we don't deserve it. Praise the Lord. So you know the problem. Again, believe the gospel. Who shall believe our report? Remember, we came to him unrighteous. Now he's giving us righteousness. And we're saying, no. What you are giving me will make me commit sin. You know who is telling you that? It's the devil. The devil will... You see, when God told me, he said, I want you to preach this all this weekend. I didn't understand the depth of this thing. Until I realized that without it, you don't enter the blessing of God. I'm telling you. Because how can you, if you reject the righteousness of God, enter the blessing of God? Can you produce one? So now the devil goes to work. 2 Corinthians 4:3. Are you following me? The devil goes to work. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, if this truth is hidden at all, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world had blinded their minds. Minds of them which believe not. If you don't believe this, you are being blinded. Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, the glorious gospel, the glorious gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God, and the devil wants to block you from seeing it, from accepting it, for even understanding it. So he tells you, that thing, it will make you commit sin. People can do whatever they like now. You say, yeah, that's not the voice of the Spirit that wrote the Bible, that says this is the gospel, that God is revealing something to you. The voice that is telling you that Christ that came to save you from sin is giving you something that will make you sin is a deceiver. Can I hear amen here? Amen. He said what? It's a deceiver. Then he turns around. He says to you, you know you are not even righteous. Look at you. And you are not. But that's why you came. The reason you came is because you are what? Unrighteous. Yeah. That's why you came. So he can fix it. And the devil say, okay, can you imagine my son going to the mechanic at that time and saying to the car, you see, you are not even fixed. See the way you are looking. You know what we would do? We'll call intervention. Because something is, and the devil makes you do that. Say, look at you. You call yourself righteous. But you're a car that was wrecked, that is being fixed from glory to glory. The potter is still at work. Did the potter tell you he has finished? No. So you look at yourself and the devil say, look at yourself. See what you do. How can you be righteous? No. So you can't go to God. You can't go. He quotes scriptures. For God is of a purer eye to behold iniquity. So why are you going there? But one thing he will not remind you is that
God says, whom I have made clean, don't call what? Because my blood washes you. You are clean indeed. Amen, church. Come on, I said amen, church. And then he quotes, there's a scripture he uses all the time. He says, you see, you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. See what the scripture says. Eh? You walk it. Leave this Jesus thing. They're telling you, gave you this. It's working in you. No. You work out your salvation. And the devil is good at quoting part of the scripture, not all of it. So now you start working out. Because that's what the Bible says. But what he didn't tell you is you didn't read the whole scripture down. Let's read it down. Philippians 2:12. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear. With fear. But God has not given us the spirit of fear. Okay? Look, read the last line. Church, read the last line. You not put it up. Let's read the starting. For it is what? God, which worketh. Oh, wait a minute. If God is working in me, what am I working out? For it is God which worketh in you, but to will and to do his hand. For it's a conjunction. This simple English. If I say something, I say for. Which means it is because of this reason. What he's talking about working our salvation out is to believe the gospel. He's warning you not to understand, you not to depend on this God that is working in you, fixing you, taking you from glory to glory. Remember that without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, you can't produce those things. You can't please God. It is impossible to do that. Totally impossible. When we were younger, we used to call it impossible. Praise the Lord. Church, are you following me? The scripture says we walk by faith. Suddenly, it can't tell you walk by sight. And what is faith? Faith is Jesus said, hey, come. Let me fix you. Bring me your body and enter my rest. He that believeth has what? Entered his rest. So if I enter his rest and cease from my labor, how can the Spirit of God turn around and tell me, put on your labor again? Praise the Lord. Hebrews 3:12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. What's he warning us about? Evil heart of what? Because unless you believe our report, the arm of the Lord that produces this thing will be cut down. Who has believed what? And Jesus said, you want to see the glory of God? Walk hard. Is that what he said? What did he say? What did he say? No, no. What did he say? Only. He put the word on. What did he say? Then you can see the glory. You see the hand of God at work. So he says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil. He called it even evil. Evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily why it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, he didn't say deceitfulness of sins. It's one, sin. The sin of unbelief, deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers. We have become what? Partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, we become partakers. We experience the power of Christ. We become part of his life. If we hold that faith, that confidence we have in Christ, he said, if we hold it, we experience the reality of becoming part of Jesus Christ. Does it look like have faith in him? Come on. Does it look like have faith in him? That's what he's saying. Our problem is believing the gospel. And in most parts, we don't even understand the gospel. And because we don't understand, we don't preach it. And because we don't preach it, we teach mainly Judaism. See, it's okay to come and you should tell the church things that are bad they shouldn't do and things they should do. But have you realized that every single time Paul begins to admonish the church to live right, it doesn't end like that. He begins to bring the gospel to back it up and say, it is through faith in Christ these things can happen. When he told them, he said, he wasn't warning the church about the works of the flesh. After warning them, what did he follow it up with? He said, but the fruits of the what? The spirit is this, this, this. He started to bring them to the work of the Holy Spirit. He said, it is through the spirit you can put to death the work. He didn't give them, said, look, and leave them like, no. He brought them back to faith in the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And when he warned the Corinthian church about murmuring, complaining, adultery, and other, he said, know you not that those who do this thing shall not inherit what? The kingdom. He said, but, he started immediately, but you were like that, but you are no more like that. He started to bring them to Christ. And he started to show them where their safety lies, where their life is, where their identity belongs in Christ Jesus, where their confidence should be, where the foundation of their faith should be. Somebody shout hallelujah. He said, some of you were so, but you are no more like that. Now you've been washed. Now you've been cleansed. Now, started telling them. This is what, and when they commit adultery, they say, but see, don't you people remember again that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. That you were bought with a price. He said, he keeps bringing them back to the gospel message. If any man is in Christ, he keeps bringing them back to the truth. He says, it is through the cross you are crucified to the world, and the world crucified. He's telling them, this your life you wrecked. When you brought it, see what Jesus did there. See how he's fixing you. See the work he did there. And when you believe this work, you will see the reality of it. Is anybody hearing me? Can I hear amen? Amen. So, Lord, you know I did what you said. So let's go back. My greatest headache this weekend is how to explain this thing. I'll go to the Lord. I say, Lord, how to explain this thing? Because you know, you revealed it to me. Yeah, I didn't know it before. So keep saying it. Don't get away from it. How many of you understand what I'm saying? If you understand me, let me see your hand up. You understand me? Shout hallelujah. Now the devil says to you, yeah, what they are preaching, everybody should commit sin. Paul said, we're accused of that too. Is it not what he said? He said, we said that let us sin so that grace will... he said, those who say this, those things are going to be destroyed. Because they are motivated by demons. The devil fights the gospel. He wants to blind you. But one thing I know is that the gospel is the power of God that saves people. Now, this gift of righteousness, I want to show you the difference between the Jews who rejected it and somebody who accepted it. Judge for yourself how their lives ended up. Look at Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace. God's what? And what is the next word? Church, come on. What is the next word? Gift of righteousness for all. Come on, church. All who what? Receive it will live in triumph over sin and death. Does this say we make you commit sin? He said, when you receive it, then you can rule in, live in trust. Because if you don't, you won't have boldness. Your faith won't work. Because every single time you want to pray, you will be faithless. Because the devil will be right beside you, accusing you, throwing it in your face, and making sure that you are depressed in that prayer. And making sure your faith doesn't work. And if your faith doesn't work, you will receive nothing from God. He will see to it. It's only the righteous that is as bold as lion. You cannot be bold because he's convincing you you are rotten. And he's showing you what you're doing. You will never win a battle.
Not in your life. And then he will tell you it is being humble. Then you come to God and say, we thy humble servants. Where in the world did you read the Bible tell you to come like that? Then the scripture said we should come boldly. Trusting in the blood. Trusting in the work of the cross. We should come boldly. He didn't say we should tiptoe there. And say to God, we thy humble. Supposing your children come back from school one day. Line up and say, daddy, we thy humble servants. You know something is wrong. Can I hear amen? Amen. Let me hear a big amen. Amen. Allah, you know, my children are grown. But these younger ones, my grandchildren, oh, I love them to pieces. They bring me back to old days. My granddaughter will rush to me. This grandpa. You know, boldly. Two Sundays ago, he ran to me, grabbed me, pap, say, grandpa, what are you eating for lunch? That's my baby girl. You know, because of relationship, she has boldness with grandpa. If my daughter would tiptoe to me, I would cry. There was one day they were coming here. I was there and I wanted so badly to carry her. I didn't know what was the problem between her and the father. She was crying. I just wanted to comfort her. She tripped her mind, following the father. You know how these children, but you know, if she knew the law of her heart, at that moment, all I wanted was take my baby in my hand and say, what's wrong? And clean her eyes. Basically. I went after the daddy. You know, God says, if you know how much I care for you and love you, that I'm giving you this gift, you say, me. You go after, I want to produce it. And you can't reign. You can't reign. You have the boldness. You have the faith. And that's why that's what makes us begin all these 7 steps to these 20 steps to all that nonsense. There's no step in it. Only one step, only believe. And you what? See the glory. That's only one step. Who has believed? That's only one step. He has worked for me for years. He works. If you're in the church, you have received real healing. I mean real healing. Can I see your hand up? Just so don't pretend though. This is God. Real healing. You know God really healed you. Stand up. Stand up. Look at them. Look at them. Does it work? Yes. Sit down. So now, he says, if you don't accept this gift of righteousness, you can't reign in life. Now look at 1 John 5:4. 1 John 5:4. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now when you are not bold, how can you have faith? So where is your victory coming from? That's why the Bible says those who receive this gift of righteousness, they will be bold. They will have enough faith to overcome and they will rule over sin and death. For when they pray, they have bold confidence in Christ, bold confidence in the gospel that it is the truth. They have bold confidence. You can't shake it off them that God has given them righteousness because Jesus paid for it. You can't stop them. They come boldly. They come rejoicing. They come with thanksgiving. Their heart is full of joy. And God says, that's my boy. That's my boy. I said, enter his cause with what? Enter his cause with what? These are the reasons you go there. You should go there with... Don't go there because the music is good. And after dancing, the heart is empty. You go there because it gave you a gift you couldn't buy. You go there and say, wow, what manner of love is this? What manner of love is this? Are you serious? Yeah. You came, you were unrighteous. He gave you what you didn't have. For none is righteous. No. So you can reign in life. So you can have boldness. So you and your father can walk together. And then remember that that thing gives you entrance, access to the blessings. So God now is able to begin to walk in you. If you are, say you are unrighteous, you say to God, like my granddaughter said, "Pam, I move on." How can God change you now? You are the one that walked away. The Bible said, evil heart of unbelief will make you depart from the living It will make you walk away, not bring you back. It makes you walk away. You reject it, you reject it. Romans 10, 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be what? Saved. For I bear them record that they have zeal for God. Zeal might end in zero. Zeal doesn't mean you know what you are doing. Ignorant people can be zealous also. Ignorant people can pray a lot too. Ignorant people can even be pastors too. Ignorant people can be deacons too. If you don't call him deacon, he will fight you. That's one, you know immediately he's ignorant. You don't have to ask twice. You didn't call me Reverend Doctor. And the man refused to go and preach because they need to introduce him as Reverend Doctor. He's ignorant. He has no business in the church. He should be in this beginner's class. Because the Bible talks of people who are spiritual. They are very humble. Can I hear amen? So, you know, he said, they are zeal. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Not according to knowledge. Not according to knowledge. Church, verse 3. Why did you remove this thing? Verse 3. For they being ignorant. What are they ignorant of? God's righteous. And many people are ignorant of it. And they've been Christians many years. They don't even know the value of it. They don't know what I... They don't even think about it. I used to be so for many years. Just going to church, maybe they go to church. Are you born again? Yeah, I'm born again. So what is it born again? Jesus died for my sin. What else? Okay, bro, I will see you tomorrow. Being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish what? Their own natures and have not submitted. You see what Paul is talking about. He said, you obey this gospel. To obey the gospel is to submit to the truth. In the New Testament, obedience is submission to the truth of God. In the Old Testament, submission to the law. In the New Testament, obedience is submission to what? To the truth. Because the Holy Spirit came to guide us into all the truth. When you submit to the truth of God, you cannot walk on righteousness. So he says, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 4. For Christ, church, for Christ is what? The end of the law for us. So that the righteousness through the law has come to screeching out. If you follow it, it is a dead end. The God put a big... What? You know the sign they put? Dead end. He says, that's the end. End of the law for righteousness. To everyone that now believes. Because once you believe in Christ, God gives you the gift of righteousness. Now, these people rejected it. As many people are doing, even some people sitting here don't know what I'm talking about. They reject it. And they go about trying to establish, to show God how good they are and how wonderful they are. Trying to, and they say, you know, the Bible says, be ye holy for I'm holy. So I want to be holy. Want to be holy. And the scripture says, who maketh you to be different from the other? Is he not God? He said, what do you have? Did not receive. So why boasted? Paul said, the life I live by faith. It's no longer I don't check out of that garage. I've checked in there. I remain there. He said, the life I live is him that works in me, changes me, gives me revelation, shows me things. So my judgment is as he teaches me. Exactly the way Jesus lived his life. He said, as my Father teaches me, so I do. He said, the words I speak, I don't depend on myself. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. They are what? Sometimes some things will happen and your flesh wants to react. The Spirit of God will say no. You may not understand why, but with time, you will see his wisdom. Amen?
So now they rejected it and became hypocrites. They turned out hypocrites, all of them. And not only hypocrites, they became killers. Because they killed Paul. I mean, they killed Stephen. And they killed who again? They killed Stephen. They killed James. And if you dare make a mistake, they will take stone, and they were wicked people. You don't want to end up like that. See, their self-righteousness really produced filthy rags. But let me see somebody that broke ranks with them. Paul said, I used to be one of them. He said, but I'm no more one of them. I ran away from that group. Can I hear amen? See Paul, Philippians 3, 7 to 11. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Man, remember these people, they be hazy without knowledge. Now this man is having the knowledge of Christ. Okay, the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Church, and be found in him, not having what? My own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, Paul said, I broke ground. He said, I used to be a Pharisee. I used to be one of them. He said, I thought that thing was useful. He said, I counted it dung now. So I broke ground with them. So to know Christ, because now they didn't have knowledge. The knowledge they needed was the knowledge of Jesus, because he's the light of the world. So now he said, to know Christ, and in knowing him, I found that there's a gift of righteousness that he gave me. And that is better than the other one. He said, nobody should associate me with the other one again. It is this one that I want. Now, brethren, let me ask you, how did his life end up? How did Paul's life end up? Did he reign in life? What did he say? He said, I have fought the good fight of faith. He said, I have what? Finished this race. He said, what is remaining for me is what? Because the scripture says that those who receive this gift of righteousness, they will reign over sin and over death. And he proved it. And that's why Paul said, he said, what you see me do, do. And the God of peace will be with you. Is anybody following me? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you understand, say amen. Amen. What's your choice? Do you receive what God is giving? Or you want your own? What's your choice? Now let's go to resurrection. I want to finish with that today, sister. Praise the Lord, church. You know, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that would be a sure sign he's not the Messiah. His resurrection proved that he is what? He's the Messiah. Look at Matthew 12, 39. That's what he said himself. Matthew 12, 39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to them, but the sign of the prophet who? Jonah. 40. Let's read 40 and see what the sign is. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights where? In the heart of the earth. He said, the only sign that I'm the Messiah is my resurrection. Romans chapter 1, verse 3. Can we read Romans 1, 3 together? Let's go. Okay, start verse 1. Paul, okay, go to verse 1. This thing is no more clear here. Something is wrong. Verse 1, please. Concerning Paul, a servant of who? Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Did you see? He's separated to preach this gospel. Okay, verse 2. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. Verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He said that was confirmed as the Son of God.
You see what Paul is saying? That if he didn't rise, we're all men, what? Most men, because we believed in somebody who is not the Son of God. So when he rose up from the dead, he was showing himself to a lot of people. That thing is to say, I am the Messiah. And church, let me tell you something. He's still showing himself today. Not by open vision. You see all this healing you are getting and the things he's doing in your life? He's showing you, I'm real. I'm real. And he will show you more. I say he will show you more. The number two thing, if he didn't rise, that blood that he shed wouldn't have been effective. Because remember, that was a sacrifice, right? Hey, church, come on. That was a sacrifice, right? But the sacrifice will not be consummated until it is taken to the altar of God. That's what God told Israel. He said, I will appoint priests. So nobody else will do that. It's the priest I appoint. And I was explaining the mystery of sin on Friday. That if you want to take on sin, you don't know what you're talking about because you don't know what that thing is. I say sin is a mystery. Because nobody knows much about it. That can sin be found in a cherub that was anointed by a master in heaven? Where did it come from? And they say iniquity has been found in you. Where did it come from? Is there any Satan that tempted him? Where did it come from? And the Bible calls him mystery of iniquity. Only God knows what that is. Can I hear amen? But God knows the solution. So God told Israel, see, he said, the soul that sinner shall die. He said, but let me tell you a secret. That there is life in the blood. So if you shed blood, that will stand for your life. And he said, bring an animal and shed his blood. Once the blood is shed, that will be a ransom for your souls. But you bring it to the altar where I prescribe. Why? I'm the judge of all the earth. If I set you free, you are what? And so Jesus came. And he came by the will of God. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away what? So he came as the Lamb. And then on the cross he was sacrificed. The Bible says it pleased his father, to smite him. So it was sacrificed. He was the lamb that God himself killed for us. He's the one that Abraham said, God will find himself a what? A lamb. That was him. They called him the Lamb of God. The one that God provided and slew for us. Sacrifice that God made himself. And so that sacrifice, after it's made, has to consummated and presented at the altar of God. If it's not presented, it is not consummated, and we will not have the effect of it. Because Israel could not kill an animal anywhere and expect it to cover their sin. They needed to kill it where? At the altar. Church, are you following me? And so Jesus rose up, not as the Lamb of God, but as God's new high priest. He said, God made him a high priest by the word of an oath. He says, God has sworn, thou art a high priest, what? Come on. Forever. After the order of Melchizedek. So he rose up a high priest. And they know, the Jews who were killing him and all those high priests who were saying crucify him, they didn't know their job was coming to an end. Somebody was taking over their job. Church, are you still awake? Yes. Are you with me? Yes. So he rose up, and when Mary wanted to touch him, he said, no, don't touch me. I have not yet what? Ascended. I still have an assignment to do as the high priest. And the court of heaven was waiting, and Jesus came with his blood. Everyone quiet. Okay. It's today. And heaven said, yeah. The sacrifice is accepted. Can somebody shout hallelujah? And from that point, the devil lost his power to accuse you. To accuse you, to accuse you, and to accuse you. From that point, our freedom was guaranteed. From that point, because that sacrifice is accepted, you can have all the blessings of God. Because you see, when the high priest in Israel, when he sacrificed that animal, for 1 year, Israel will enjoy all the blessings of God. Am I correct? Yes. Now, but when Jesus did his own, the Bible said for eternity, Whoever believes in him will enjoy all the blessings of God. Do you believe this? Church, do you believe this? Can I read scripture for you? Hebrews chapter 8. Did I communicate anything? Our high priest, man, this is amazing. Here, Hebrews chapter 8 from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 8 from verse 1. Read it for me. Read it for me. Give her my chichi. Take microphone. I think you can read it from there, chichi. Oh, you can read it. Please read it for me. That's a New Living Translation. Go ahead. Verse 8, verse 1.
Okay. Sorry. It says here.
So you people don't think that I'm making it up. So let somebody else read it. Okay. Let's go.
Here is the main point.
Here is what?
The main point. Uh-huh. We have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. There he ministers in the heavenly tabernacle, the true place of worship that was built by the Lord and not by human
hands. Where is he ministering now? In heaven, the true tabernacle that men did not build. Hey, go ahead.
And since every high priest is required to offer gifts and sacrifices.
Every high priest is required to offer what? Okay.
Our high priest must make an offering.
So he too must have an offering. Okay, let's see. Continue.
If he were here on earth, he would not even be a priest, since there are already priests who offer the gifts required by the law. They serve in a system of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven.
He said what they were doing is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. Uh-huh.
For when Moses was getting ready to build the tabernacle, God gave him this warning. Be sure that you make everything according to the pattern I have shown you here on the mountain. But now Jesus, our high priest.
But now, everybody say, but now.
But now.
But now, say it one more time.
But now.
But now Jesus, our what? High priest,
has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood.
Okay, hold it there. You know why it's far superior? The old priesthood, when they do their sacrifice, lasted for 1 year, but his own lasts for eternity. And number two, the high priest, when they did their sacrifice, was for Israel, but when Jesus did his own, it was for the whole humanity. Number three, the high priest that did that thing were sinners, but our high priest is sinless. Number four, the high priest that did that thing, they died, but our own high priest ever lived on our behalf. He's going nowhere. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. When you go to pray, remember your high priest is there.
Amen.
He's going nowhere. And you can come bold. Continue. Let's finish it.
For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant.
He mediates for us what? A far better covenant. Uh-huh.
With God based on better promises.
Yep.
If the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant.
If the first covenant was what? Faultless, there wouldn't have been any need. So continue.
And for a second covenant to replace it.
So the second covenant had replaced what? The first one. Now move to Hebrews 9:11 quickly. Hebrews 9:11.
Yeah, it's not
working. Sorry. Who knows? Maybe one day you two become a pastor. Who knows? These are signs of good things to come. Well, I'm looking forward to one day we make women pastors.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm so desirous to have women become pastors.
Amen.
Yeah.
So
we have married women pastors. Married women pastors. Go ahead.
So Christ has now become the high priest over.
So Christ has now become what? The high priest. Over what?
All the good things.
Brethren, over the bad things. Over what? The good things that have come. It's not saying will come. I told you not to live in hope. Live in faith. Because those good things have come. It's yours to believe and have. Healing has come. Deliverance has come. Freedom has come. All the blessings in heavenly places have come. Jesus guaranteed it by his blood. Go ahead.
He has entered that greater, more.
He has entered that greater, more.
To more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world.
Continue.
With his own blood, not
with his own blood.
Not the blood of goats and calves.
Not the blood of what? Because you see, the blood of goats that the other priests used could not wash away sin. So he came with the perfect blood. Go ahead.
He entered the most holy place once for all time.
How many times?
One.
Once for all times.
And secured our redemption forever.
Somebody give me hallelujah there. Hallelujah. He secured it. The moment he entered the heaven, every man, this is the altar of God. Jesus came in with his blood. And God was sitting on his throne. And God said, yes, this is my son. That's my lamb. That's the sacrifice. Redemption is now available. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know what redemption means? Free. Freedom. You are freed from consequences of sin. Freed from power of Satan. Freed from sickness. Free from... You tell me, you have a pastor near my house. It's a native doctor. Shut nonsense. Shut up. I said, shut your mouth. When he stood there, he obtained, secured your redemption. And because he gave you righteousness, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Don't you understand that? Again, the problem is, do you believe the gospel? Do you believe the gospel? I want to have the musicians there. Musicians, please. If you don't go, I'll go and play the organ right now.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.